I want to look at today. We're going to start in Lamentations. Great place to start, by the way. Lamentations, okay? But I think when you hear these words, you'll see kind of the direction we're going to be going. Lamentations chapter 3 says this. It says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." In the footnotes, in the ESV, it says, "Because of the steadfast love of the Lord, we are not cut off." Isn't that good? We are not cut off. See, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. I don't know about you here this morning. There's a theme. I mean, when Jim is with the worship and everything, there is so much hope in him. He's taken us out of our past. He's brought us into this new reality. He's set us free. There's so much the Lord is just fixing us on today. And so that's what we need to hear. There's a message we need to hear today. We need to grab hold of. And I'm going to be speaking today about having a steadfast spirit. Okay? What does it mean to have a steadfast spirit? There's a Greek word in the New Testament that we find. It's hydraios. I don't say that right. I'm pretty sure I'm not Greek. But I'll just say this. This Greek word, used three times in the New Testament, literally is, in the literal sense, it's situated or fixed. Okay? To be situated, well-seated, fixed, like you are right now in your seat. Figuratively, it talks about morally, like our moral state, being morally fixed, steadfast, firm in purpose, in mind, well stationed, not given over to fluctuation or moving off course, right? That's with our lives. That's with our inner being, okay? Someone who's steadfast stays on course or does not stray off course. We know God to be steadfast. The word is used for God over and over. We saw it in the psalm we read earlier today. We see it in Lamentations. God is steadfast. His steadfast love endures forever. Amen? Amen. Amen. His mercies are new every morning. God does not change like shifting shadows. Praise the Lord. Because as we oscillate, as we fluctuate, as we can be up and down, God is never changing. Steadfast and sure, immovable. He's the rock. He's the rock on which we stand. Hallelujah. And we are called into this steadfastness. We're called into this. And we're called to have a steadfast spirit. Sometimes it doesn't seem possible. But a steadfast spirit is firm and unmovable. It morally stays the course with God, spiritually aligning ourselves with Him. It's trust. Deep trust. Abiding trust in God. So we know a little bit of what it's like to be steadfast. I do want to say steadfast. Steadfast is not stubborn. I want to make a note, just a little side note here. Stubbornness and steadfastness have some similarities, but they're not the same. See, stubbornness speaks of our flesh. You ever been stubborn in your flesh? I have been. Maybe you haven't, but I have been. What our flesh wants, what we come to believe that we must have, we got to have it. Got to have it. Don't talk me out of it. Don't say anything. Sometimes we'll say other words. The stubborn mind is bent on the flesh. The stubborn mind does not listen to wisdom or godly counsel. It does not want to be held accountable. It only wants what it wants. Let me use a simple example. Sometimes I like simple examples. Everybody in the group wants steak. Nope, I want pizza. And I don't care what everybody else wants. I will have pizza. And if people want to hang out with me, they will eat pizza. You ever been stubborn in the flesh? That's stubborn flesh. That's not a steadfast spirit. That's just stubborn flesh. Have you ever been caught up in that kind of stubbornness of the flesh? Like holding on to a sin. You just don't want to let it go. It just gives you a little something. But it leaves you empty. Are you stubborn in the area where you're not willing to take the counsel of God's word into your life? Where you don't care what God's word says, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. That's stubborn flesh. Nobody can correct me. I won't be accountable to anybody. Stubborn flesh. Where we don't seek godly counsel or wise advice. We just persist in what our flesh wants. See, being unyielding according to our flesh is not being steadfast in the Lord. And there's a distinct difference. Because God calls us to develop a quality in our nature that's persistent, but persistent in Him. To be persistent in the Lord. The steadfast spirit is my inner being bent towards God, not being bent towards the flesh. See, my stubborn flesh, it's the flesh, what the flesh wants. But if I'm going to yield myself to God, if I'm going to be persistent and steadfast in the Lord, I'm bending myself to the Lord. I'm trusting in Him. I'm putting my weight upon Him. You know, as we yield to God, as we listen to His Holy Spirit, we're choosing to go His way, not our way. And this is the process of discipleship. We're choosing to go God's way and not our way and what we think is right, because sometimes we will do it and we think this is right. We think we've got it figured out, just find out that we don't. It's a process. It's a process of our maturing. It's a process of our growing in the Lord. It's a process of becoming fruitful, because this is how we become fruitful. We choose God's purpose and plan, His way for our lives. 2 Peter 1 talks about this growing in the divine nature. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. It says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. That's available to all of us. Partakers of His divine nature, His steadfast nature. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love, or agape love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many of us want to be fruitful and effective Christians? We learn to yield our lives to God. We learn to grow in our knowledge of Him. We learn to let go of our stubborn flesh. And we grow in this divine nature. And it says, keep growing, keep adding, keep increasing. Growing in the divine nature is progressive and it's intentional. We're intentional about our lives and about how we live and about what we give our lives to and what we turn away from. It is yielding ourselves to God to grow in a nature that is steadfast among other excellent qualities. So let's go back to my simple example. God, I want pizza. But Lord, I believe You're saying, don't eat right now. Put it aside. Go help your neighbor. In fact, Instead, you want me to go visit a person in need and take them something that they need. You see, I can lay down my flesh, and I can say yes to the Spirit and do what the Spirit is calling me to do. That's a sensitivity. That's a way that we present ourselves before God. That's our yes before the Lord. When we say, Lord, I'm not going to be controlled by the flesh, I will allow your Spirit to move me whatever way you need to move me. God doesn't mind if you have pizza, but he wants you to yield to him and know his Spirit. You see, when we're growing in a steadfast spirit, we're able to say yes to God over and over and over again. And we're able to also be effective as Christians. We're able to be fruitful because we're tending to what we need to be tending to and focus where we need to be focused. You know, in order to become mature, each of us as disciples of Jesus Christ, in order to become mature, we have to be challenged. The flesh has to be challenged, okay? And it may have nothing to do with pizza, but we have to be challenged in our flesh. We have to face trials where our flesh is challenged. And we have this divinely given attribute called free will. You have a will. You have a choice. We can choose the flesh, which we know what that's like, right? And we can also choose the Spirit. We know what that's like to walk by the Spirit. And sometimes we just fluctuate back and forth and back and forth. But we choose daily to walk by the Spirit. That's daily. I'm going to walk by the Spirit. Our power to choose is monumental and it is God-given. It's not taken away from you. But choose. Choose to go with God daily. You know, if we continue to fall into the flesh or give into the flesh, we remain immature. We remain in a state of immaturity. Okay? And in that state of immaturity, there's just things we won't experience that God wants us to experience. There's things we won't have that God wants us to have. It's like the boy who never learns how to ride his bike. He has a bike, but he never learns how to ride his bike. A boy or girl naturally will persevere until he or she has accomplished it, has gotten on those bikes, dropped the training wheels, and on his or her own power can ride down the street and be free. Remember what it was like to ride your bike around your neighborhood? You're free. You were able to do things that you couldn't do before. You could ride to your friend's house. You could do things. And you could do it on your own power. But to remain immature in the Lord, to remain in the flesh, is like never learning how to ride your bike. God longs to see us to obtain this maturing process in our lives where we overcome barriers. And honestly, we develop some grit in our spiritual walk. We develop some muscle. You know, riding the bike's good for your legs, good for your muscle, good exercise. The Lord wants us to develop some muscle in our spiritual lives so we learn how to ride a bike. Well, God doesn't want us to be immature. He wants us to have some grit in our spiritual walk. He wants us to have this great ability, this maturity, this freedom, to have the freedom to go. He wants us to soar on wings like eagles. That's his desire for us. And if you don't know what that's like, you don't know what it's like. And you wonder what it's like to soar there up in the sky and see things from a different vantage point, to be above the clouds. You don't know if you don't know. But those who develop wings and those who mature in the Lord, they know. They know what it's like to soar on the winds high above. God wants us to experience that and to have that. He wants us to be like eagles. That's our calling in life. And you know what? We can be. Because sometimes, you know, we see in this life, oh, we have trouble, we have difficulties, we have trials. Say, oh, Lord, I could never do that. I could never soar. I'm always just stuck here on the ground with broken wings. See, God says, no, that's not your life. That's not what I've called you to. You can grow. You can overcome. You can have the freedom that Jesus died for. He died for to give us. There's another Greek word in the New Testament called hypomone. It's very closely associated with the first word, steadfast. In fact, it's often translated as steadfast, but it's also translated as endurance, perseverance. Very closely, these two words are very closely related to each other. In Strong's Concordance, it says this about the word hypomone. It conveys steadfast endurance that clings to God. Clings. Steadfast endurance that clings to God in the face of pressure. It's more than passive waiting. It is active. It is faith-filled perseverance that refuses to abandon obedience or hope. Its essence is a spirit-empowered tenacity that remains under trial until God's purpose is fulfilled. How many of us like that? That sometimes God wants us even to remain in a trial until He's completed a purpose in our lives, to remain under pressure until what the Lord wants to accomplish in our lives is being done. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt the pressure? Well, we know how diamonds are created. They're created under pressure. We know how gold is refined. It's under high, high heat, great heat, to remove the dross. So we know that there's a process that sometimes God will take us through. Doesn't necessarily cause it, even though sometimes I do believe He does. But He doesn't cause all things. But he will use that pressure in our lives to produce something in us that we did not have before. It's a maturing in Christ. James 1, verse 2 says it pretty clearly. He says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Hypomone. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. It's God's will for you to lack in nothing, to experience the divine nature of Christ in you, a great freedom, a soaring above the clouds. He wants that for each and every one of us. But there's trials and there's tribulations. And there's struggles. And there's difficulties. Lord, why didn't you just make this earth easy? I mean, we can get into the theology of that, the fall, sin, the two Adams. We could talk theology, but we are on this side of heaven, we are in a place of decay. Entropy, so to speak, where things do fall apart, even the moral character of people. But the Lord calls us to something else. And you see, there's a process in the making of a Christ-like spirit in us. There's a process in the making. And so sometimes we have to just surrender to the Lord. Our flesh doesn't want it, but we surrender to the Lord and say, Lord, make of me your vessel, to be the vessel you're calling me to be. It's a yielding and a bent towards God. I'm leaning on you, O Lord. So the Bible tells us to be steadfast in our faith, because each of us must develop this quality. And if we don't develop this quality, we'll continue to be weak and easily overcome by the enemy. So whenever trials and temptations come, we'll give in. But hardships do come, and temptations are a part of life. So I know that I need to find my strength in the Lord. And it's not about doing better. Sometimes we do that. We do that to ourselves. Lord, I'll do better next time. I'll do better next time. No, it's about becoming the person Christ intended us to become. It's about becoming. It's not doing better. It's not performance. So that's why sometimes we get that performance mindset out of our vocabulary, out of our mindset. It's becoming who Christ has called us to become. A believer who has the quality and character of a steadfast spirit, enduring trials, growing in a refining process, this person is someone who has pure gold on the inside. It's been refined by fire. Pure gold. You have pure gold on the inside of you because of what the Lord will take you through, the processes He is working you through. It's the difference between going through difficulties and having joy, even in the midst of difficulty, having peace, even under trial. There's something on the inside of you that's secure. It's sure. It's immovable. It's firm. It's steadfast. And there's nothing the enemy can do about it. Though he tries to send things to move you off the steadfastness of Christ. See, growing believers have a growing faith, an endurance that allows them to go the second mile, even when after the first mile they're tired. You ever been tired after the first mile? And you know you still had a mile to go? I ran cross country in high school for 2 years. Okay, so ninth grade, I ran cross country. And my first practice, it was like a 3 mile practice course. Halfway, I died. I ran out of gas. Okay, let me say, I ran out of gas. I couldn't run anymore. I did what I could do. I'm done. And I just watched everybody go back. There was a few others, but I walked back. I walked back to the high school. And I could have told myself that day, this is hard. This is difficult. This is not for me. It's too hot. It's August. It's too hot. I don't want to do this. My flesh is uncomfortable. I'm not a runner. I could have quit that day. But thank goodness I didn't. I didn't quit that day. By the end of the week, I could finish that 3 mile practice course. And then by the end of the season, I could run 9 miles without stopping. I wasn't fast at first, but I got faster and faster and faster. I mean, I wasn't great. I was never a great runner, but I could eventually run under a 6 minute mile for 3 miles. So that's like about 18 minutes. For a 5K course. Wasn't college speed, but it was good. The thing is, I developed this great lung capacity that still has helped me today. My kids wonder why I can hold my breath underwater longer than they can. Cross country in high school. And I developed endurance. And I had to go through the mental ability of telling my flesh, you're not stopping now. Because when I was running, did I get cramps? Lots of cramps. Did I want to quit? Yes, I wanted to quit. It was not comfortable. Sometimes my body was feeling like it gave off. And I know what it's like to get a second wind. You ever experienced the runner's second wind? I know what that's like, where all of a sudden your body is re-energized to finish the race when you feel like you're lagging behind. You see, we train our bodies. We tell our bodies what to do. And that's what you can do in the spiritual realm as well. You can tell your body what to do because you take spiritual authority over it. Now, I'm not going to run with a broken leg. Those people who had the shin splints, that's a runner's thing, painful. Never got it, but painful. But they had to sit out. They had to rest. They had to sit aside until they could come back and run. And I will say this, running with a group was huge. Look, we don't run alone. Don't be isolated in your spiritual walk, because you're so much more likely to quit so much more likely to tell yourself, I'm just going to stop. But when others are running and others are not giving up, and you could join together as a team and say, you know what? We're going the extra mile. We're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Keep running. Don't stop. I feel the Holy Spirit just saying right now, you need to hear it. Keep running. Don't stop. You're going to make it. The finish line is on the horizon. Keep going. Don't stop. You're going to make it. You need the body of Christ. People encouraging you along the way. They see more in you than you see in yourself. They see what you can do and accomplish more than what you can see about yourself. The Lord's saying today, endure. The pressure sometimes feels hot. The pressure feels extreme. The August heat can be miserable. But don't stop. Don't stop. God wants to see you through to the end. Sometimes we lose our way in this race of life. We could look at someone like David, King David. He ran a strong race with God. He really did. But there was times he lost his way. There was times he strayed from the course and got lost in sin, wickedness, ungodliness. He fell. He fell. And when he was confronted with his sin, he did not respond with stubborn flesh. He responded with a grieved spirit. May our sin sometimes really grieve our hearts. The things that sometimes we do or have done. David was grieved and he repented. He repented of his sins. He still experienced some of the consequences of his sin, because the consequences of his sin lasted years. But did God restore him? Yes. He prays this prayer in Psalm 51. As he opens his heart before God, his tender heart before God, and he says before God, he says, create in me a clean heart, God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. See, he knew he got off course. He knew he had sinned. He knew he had morally fallen. And this is why this prayer, renew a right spirit within me. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. And that's all about, Lord God, that I am going to you. I am going with you. I am for you, Lord. Forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for what I've done. And he says, Lord, against you I have sinned, earlier in the Psalm 51. And he cries out to the Lord to renew this spirit, this right spirit in him. God hears the cry of David and does renew his spirit. As he hears David's spirit yearning to be right with him. And God does not deny. And he says in verse 15, we see that God does not deny David because of the spirit in which he comes before God. He says, O Lord, my lips, open my lips, so that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. God, you will not despise. You know, sometimes our wings are broken because of sin. If we hide our sin from God and we hide our brokenness from the Lord, there's no mending. We're just continually broken. But if we bring our wings before the Lord, he's the God who heals. He's the God who mends. He knows how to take eagle's wings and mend them back together. And in time, the bones join back together and they come whole again. I don't know if you've ever watched sometimes some people get into restoring wild animals back to the wild and the process. But the eagle's wings, where it might be months and months and months, but then there's a time and a place where the wings are healed. And it's time to take the eagle out to the wild and let him spread the wings and take off once again. So, you know, if you're broken right now, it's not over, but there's mending and there's healing. But when we give our brokenness to God, he knows how to mend us. He knows how to put us back together. And we will. We will soar on wings. It's a promise. It's a promise. Sometimes it means waiting on him. Sometimes it does mean yielding to him, surrendering ourselves to him. Don't hide our sins. Don't be stubborn in our flesh. Yield ourselves to him. And he will do the work in us. Hallelujah. God calls us to have a steadfast spirit in him. And let him develop that within us. It's vitally important. It's what allows this maturity to take place in us. We're able to go deeper with God, becoming immovable. As we mature, we're less likely to get thrown off. We're less likely to get dismayed. We're less likely to lose our way. When that work is happening on us, that gold is developing on the inside of us. And God has a purpose for each one of us to fulfill. No matter what our past has been, God uses some of the most broken people and heals them and restores them and redeems them, and they do amazing things for God. Amazing things. See, your past does not decide your future. It doesn't. With God, he takes, as we sang about today, he takes the broken things. He takes the broken things and restores them and makes beauty from ashes. So God calls us to develop in the steadfast spirit, to have an unwavering faith, to not be tossed here and there by our feelings or our emotions, by opinions of others and what other people say about us, to not be tossed to and fro, but to be steadfast, knowing who we are in Christ Jesus, and have unmovable faith. And sometimes we may go through times when everything around us seems to be falling apart, but we stand in the Lord. We stand upon him. And he will hold us fast. So we make up our minds to stay the course with God. If Paul exhorts the church in 1 Corinthians to be immovable, to be steadfast. He says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. God will do according, he wants to do according to his will in your life. He will bring about your success. It says he will do a work in you. What he began, he will finish. How are you today? Do you feel immovable? Well, forget about your feelings. Are you immovable in the Lord today? What pressures are coming against you? What pressures do you feel? What pressures seem to be that the enemy's just pressing in on you? Is your flesh being stubborn? What tempts you to stray away from God or to give up your faith in him? God is unchanging. He is faithful. He is pure. His love is steadfast for us. He does not waver. And we're called to remember Jesus, what Jesus endured on the cross, what he gave up for us, what he endured for our salvation. The Bible says he's our example. Let me read Hebrews 12. Out of Hebrews 12, it says this. It says, Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Let us run with endurance. We do this. Back to the scripture. Yeah. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. So whether it's things that are attacking us and coming against us, whether it's just the pressures of life, the trials we're going through, we can stand up in the Lord. We can consider what he endured. And he can give us the strength. He can give us the ability. Do we have to run to him? Yes. Do we have to cry out to him? Yes. We admit our weakness. We admit our wanting to quit. I want to quit, Lord. I want to quit. But he can give us a second wind. He can give us a strength that's not ours. It's not our strength. He can give us the blessing of his presence, his ruach, his Holy Spirit blowing in us. And if you know anything about sailing, you have to trim the sail to catch the wind. The pressure is there to carry you forward, but you've got to set the boat, the rudder, in the direction. You've got to grab the rope, trim the sail, and catch the wind. That's positioning yourself, folks. Positioning yourself before God to catch his Spirit and saying, Lord, yes, Lord, blow your winds on me. Right here, right now, I need you to blow. So the Bible says, let us fix our eyes upon him. He's the author and the finisher of our faith.